Ladies and gentlemen, turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. As I continue to preach in your hearing, the church must unhitch itself from W.E.B. Du Bois's problem of the color line, this psychological trap that we're in. Part 27 in the church should have been free of this a long time ago, but we unfortunately still have problems in this area that we should not have problems in. This is part 27, The Lost Souls of Black Folk and White Folk, part 81. Yes, the Just Jesus evangelistic campaign is still moving on, day 893 since January the 20th, 2017, day 1253 since January the 1st, 2016. The Holy Bible reads in 1 John chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother, he that saith he is saved, born again, blood washed, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. Basically, what this passage is saying to us, that the main thing that ought to change after you are saved, after you are born again, is that you ought to have love for all people. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. See, when you love right, it eliminates a whole lot of mess in your life. Are you loving right? Do you love your family member right? You see, if you are a Christian, you're a born again one, and I would love to quote C.S. Lewis here. I was reading C.S. Lewis earlier today, and C.S. Lewis was the one who reminded us that love is a stern and splendid thing. Love is not something that is weak. It's a powerful thing. And he understood love, it seems to me, better than most Christians today. And so the question is, do you love your family member the way you should? Or do you have hatred in your heart towards your own family member? Be it your wife, be it your husband, be it your children, be it your parents. There's something wrong somewhere. Do you love your fellow church members? Do you love people who are different than you are. This is not about just about race. Because there are white people who hate white people. In fact, you got some white folks who hate white folks who more than them hate blacks. And you got black folk who hate black folk. And on and on. So this passage is not about race. The point is that if you are born again, if you are a child of God, if you are a follower of Christ, the main thing that ought to be shining forth from you is the love of God that has been shed abroad in your heart. Amen, somebody. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness hath blinded his eyes. See, this is why when we deal with people who hate people because of their race, and we say they're just ignorant. They are. They're not only ignorant, they're blinded. And they're very difficult to deal with. But God wants us to love them anyway. Let's pray. Holy Father, God in heaven, what a day it has been. We praise you and we thank you for allowing us to land over into October and to see another October. And we're not ignorant of the devil's devices, because you don't want us to be. And you've taught us down through the years how the devil operates and works in certain seasons. And this is a month that we have had experience with down through the years, where the devil kicks up his heel, so to speak, because I believe he thinks that this is his month because of the evil of Halloween at the end of this month. And so, Lord, I pray that you will rebuke and bind our enemy, the devil, his demons, and his hosts from us. And protect us from him as he constantly seeks to attack us and to try to hinder us. Place upon us the whole armor of God. Surround us with a band of your holy angels, a wall of your holy fire. Place, Lord, upon us your protection. And, Lord, give us sweet victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. Once again, and we pray that you will have mercy and grace upon each and every one of us, your people, here and out there participating around the world. Forgive us as Christians of our sins, even of hatred, not only hatred against race, certain races, but Lord, hatred in our own families. We have white families who need to love one another in their own family. Same thing with black families. And I would venture to say, Lord, that that's a bigger problem in our society. Family members don't even love each other, much less loving others outside of the family. And so, Lord, we pray for a revival of love inside everybody's family, the families of Christians particularly, and for the salvation of lost families. For in at the end of the day, salvation is what's going to win the day as far as hatred towards other people, be they black or white or red or yellow. So Lord, help people to become born again. And I thank you for showing me, without even remembering this passage, that the truth is many people are just not born again. They're religious. They're churchgoers. They're deacons. They're trustees. They're even preachers. but they have never been born again because the your love is not shed abroad in their hearts as it should be. And we know them by their fruits. So Lord, open blinded eyes, unstop deaf ears. And Lord, have some church members to be saved, to get saved tonight, as well as others who are irreligious. Glorify your holy name. Lift up your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in this sin-cursed world. In these perilous times, demonstrate the power of your Holy Spirit. Save those who are lost and revive those who are saved. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. God bless you, dear friends. You may sit down. I told you that I have been reading more of Dr. C.S. Lewis lately. And this is not his best quote on this subject, but it is interesting and thought-provoking. And quite frankly, I cannot imagine a man in our history more thought-provoking than C.S. Lewis. I believe that in history, C.S. Lewis is the Einstein and the Freud, if you will, of Christianity. I believe also that C.S. Lewis was not only an apologist and a great thinker, but he was a deep visionary. He was a visionary. He saw things that the average person did not see. That's just a fact. Anyway, C.S. Lewis said, "Do not waste time bothering whether you love your neighbor. Act as if you did." Basically, control your behavior and act like you love somebody. Don't worry about the feelings. The head of Skillet is big on that, and he's trending quite a bit lately. I believe my baby son is familiar with Skillet. I am not a fan of Skillet. But he just got sick and tired of people who claim to be super Christians and super pastors whining and complaining and living based upon their feelings and their emotions and even killing themselves. Please excuse me if that offends you, but this is it is inappropriate for a Christian to kill himself. You can like it or not, it's just not biblical. So Skillet, and you know, quitting the faith, and that's the main thing he was getting at. Skillet, the head of Skillet, said we need to start living again based upon the Word of God and not our feelings and not our emotions. And that's what C.S. Lewis is getting at. It doesn't matter whether you feel like you love somebody. You need to act like you love somebody. Amen, somebody. You need to act like it. If you're a Christian, God will give you the heart, and God will give you the mind, and he will give you the strength to do so. I thank God for my oldest daughter, Danny White, a young lady that God is using mightily. And she practices this. She may be dealing with somebody difficult, and she may not feel like loving them, but she chooses to love people. And chooses to try to help people. she chooses to look at the word first and not her feelings. And I want to encourage you, and C.S. Lewis wants to encourage you to do the same. Doesn't matter whether you feel like you love somebody. You may wake up tomorrow morning and feel like you hate somebody, but God wants you as a Christian to act like you love them. That's not being fake and phony. That's being obedient. The truth of the matter is, for Christians, we have the power, not necessarily the feeling or the emotion, but we do have the power of the Holy Spirit to do the right thing, whether we feel like it or not. That's much of the Christian life. And too many people, even in the Christian church, particularly since the advent of the prosperity gospel, live by their feelings. Listen to me, my dear friends. Some Christians, so-called people, who are living some of the most disastrous lives, are people who got caught up in this emotional faith thing where everything is based upon your feelings and your impressions and what you think, and it has nothing to do with the Word of God. To the point, there are people who claim to be Christians and Bible and born again Christians who are now getting to the point where they're questioning the Word of God because it does not jive with their feelings and their emotions. And this is why some people who claim to be Christians don't love others, because it's all about their feelings and what they think and their impression of somebody. Anyway, in our last message in this series, we began looking at how the hate that we see in many people is opposed to the love that was embodied in Jesus. Was it easy for Jesus, think about it, to love people who were trying to kill him, hated him from Jump Street, and all he was doing is trying to save everybody and heal everybody and raise everybody from the dead and raise those who were dead from the dead, healing the sick. Loving people, forgiving people, and yet they were trying to kill him. Was it easy? No. But he chose to love them anyway. Even while he was dying on the cross, he told our Heavenly Father and his Heavenly Father, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." Do you have that kind of love, the God kind of love, that overlooks the foolishness of people, that overlooks the ignorance of people? How many times as a black person have you, you know, somebody, an old white man, an old white lady, threw your money down at the cash register or snatched it out of your hand and had a nasty attitude, and but they treated other people differently? How many times have you had to smile, Christian, and just smile at their ignorance and just, you know, take it and keep on going? You're practicing the C.S. Lewis style of love. More importantly, you're practicing the Jesus style of love. And Christians all across this country and around the globe who are truly born again, they have to do that. Black and white and red and yellow and brown. You just have to overlook devilish people, be they in the family. In fact, you're not going to stay married long if you don't learn how to do it. You just have to smile at their ignorance and move on. If you're in a position of authority, you need to correct them. And at the same time, still love them. And you can't do it without God. You can't do it without Jesus Christ. It is impossible. That's why today we heard about another dear family, tragically. To me, it is mind-blowing. 5 people. Somebody came home, I guess to pick them up to go to school, and murder-suicide. Killed 5 people and killed himself. You know why these people don't have Jesus? You can't love for a long period of time like that and forgive and look at the same person who offended you and who stole your special dessert out of the refrigerator the night before and still forgive them. And not only that, when they stole it, you know they stole it, but they lie and tell you they didn't steal it. And then they want to lay beside you lying and going to sleep beside you knowing they stole your stuff. And may God help you if they lie on the children and say the children stole it. And you still got to live with that person. You still got to love that person. You can only do that through Christ, dear friend. You can't do that in the flesh. So when Jesus came, he brought a new commandment that summed up all of the old commandments, the new commandment to love. And Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. wrote a book titled Strength to Love. It sounded kind of weird when he wrote it and published it. But you do need strength to love, dear friend. He needed strength to love. And to forgive when you're just wanting your civil rights in the greatest country in the history of the world outside of Israel. And you're just marching peacefully and they want to kill you and assassinate you and throw rocks at you, sick dogs on you. He needed strength to love. And you need strength to love, and it only comes from knowing Jesus. And the wonderful thing about this love is that true Christians recognize this love when it is in the heart of the other person. So you can't fake it. You can't fake this love. I thank God I have some white friends. They are truly friends. They're just as real as any of my black friends or my brown friends. Met a Christian woman who happened to be brown, if you will. When I go to this certain place, it's a grocery store, I may not get the same greeting from a white person for whatever reason. But this certain lady, she's a Christian, showed me the utmost respect, and I showed her the utmost respect. And it was real. It was genuine. There were no barriers. There was no need to do the racist thing because she's brown and I'm black. And it was easy, like Sunday morning. But I thank God I have some white brothers and sisters in Christ who are friends of mine who are that way as well. Brown brothers and sisters, yellow brothers and sisters, red brothers and sisters. Why? because of Christ living in their hearts. No guile, no lies, no hypocrisy, no phoniness. You don't have to be uneasy around them. It's real. They love you because of Christ. This love was seen on the cross when Jesus died for our sins. That love ushered in a new age of the light of God shining down on His creation. And with that, I have several more points to share with you tonight, but with that love being shown on the cross of Calvary, I'm going to close out tonight. Have you experienced the love of God? Yesterday morning, on this early Sunday morning when we had communion, I thanked the Lord, and here's how I thanked Him. I said, Holy Father God, thank You for John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what we're celebrating during communion. That's what we are remembering. The gospel includes God. God is, if you will, the initiator of the gospel. God so loved the world. Jesus said that. God so loved the world. A world that was constantly raising their evil fists and angry fists at Him. Even intellectuals like C.S. Lewis was mad at God. I told you, you know, white folks, they feel like they can get mad at God. I've never been mad at God in my life. I don't know what that means. But he was angry at God and angry at God and mad at God for some of the strangest reasons. I never thought about anything like this. He said he was angry at God because why did you create human beings without their consent? I said, wow. I said, what? That's what C.S. Lewis said. He hated God. He was mad at God. He was angry at God because He had created him and created other human beings without their consent. I said, wow, how can you think like that? That's deep. And there are people right now angry at God. And God so loved the world. Mad at God for creating you without your consent. Mad at God because your mother died when you were young. Mad at God. And yet God so loved the world. There are people angry at God tonight. You might be angry at God. Mad about this. Mad about that. Why is this not happening for me? Why did that happen for her? Why did that happen for him? Mad at God. Angry at God, sinning against God, worse. Doing evil against God, knowingly and unknowingly. Breaking His commandments, knowing His commandments and still breaking them. Yet God so loved the world. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you know Him? After being angry at God for a while, C.S. Lewis knelt down at Oxford in his room and said he surrendered to God. He finally acknowledged that God is God and that God exists. And whether you believe that or not tonight, He does. And even if you're mad at God tonight, He still loves you. And He wants you to be born again. I'm here to tell you, after 40 years of following Jesus Christ, being a saved man, a Christian man, I am more amazed at the love of God now than ever. I marvel at His love. I am amazed truly at His grace and His mercy. And something you have never heard of before, something that God gave me, His system of grace. You know, God works by systems, the solar system. And He has a system of grace. And it involves a whole lot. And you need to be a part of it. So the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou you shalt be saved. You don't have to be a member of a church. You don't have to be in church. I did not get saved in church. I got saved outside of the church. You don't have to give any money to the church to be saved. You don't even have to get baptized to be saved. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou you shall be saved. So if you're willing to trust Christ as your Savior tonight, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from eternal hell. Saved to what? Saved to eternal heaven, to be with God, the one who loves you. And nobody, listen to me very carefully, nobody will ever love you more. I don't care how romantic your feelings are, nobody will love you more than God. And nobody will love you more thoroughly than God. So much so, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sins. Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins. Some of you church members need to be saved tonight. You've never been born again. If you hate your wife, if you hate your husband, if you hate your children, if you hate your parents, if you hate anybody in your family, your brothers or your sisters, if you hate your neighbors, if you hate white folks, if you hate black folks, if you hate brown folks, if you hate yellow folks, if you hate red folks, if you hate Trump, if you hate Obama, if you hate anybody, there's something wrong somewhere. There's no more excuses. No more excuses. You have never been born again. You're not saved. You're just religious and lost and on your way to hell. So, dear friend, trust Christ right now. Get into the light. Pray and ask Him to save you. I'll be glad to lead you in prayer. It's called the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. I did it 40 years ago, and I have never regretted it. And you will never regret it if you truly get saved tonight. Holy Father God, repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. And Lord, I admit I still have hatred in my heart towards others. I acknowledge that I have done evil in your sight. I have lied before. I have stolen things before. I have coveted after and lusted after people and things before. I have taken your holy name in vain. And I've committed many other sins. And I am guilty, and I understand that I deserve eternal hell. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon me. and please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe with all of my heart that he suffered and he bled and he died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose on the third day. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past. And help me to turn from my evil life and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and for his sake, amen. Dear friend of mine, tonight, if you believed in your heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read free of charge my pamphlet titled What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you received him into your heart today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com or one of our other many emails on our various sites around the world and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well. And we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. And what is the most popular email address? GLS? GLS@GospelLightSociety.com. GLS@GospelLightSociety.com. That's where most people email things to us, and we will be glad to receive what you have to send to us, and we will get right back in touch with you with the material free of charge. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you. We love you, and may God bless you. Real good is my prayer.